This podcast of the Swain Event is brought to you by InsureFit RM. For all of your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call InsureFit RM at 865-684-4900.
You don't have to take an L just because you can't listen to the Swain Event live. You can catch up on the podcast posted daily on the app, online, and on iTunes.
You know, it seemed like every time we turned around, his phone was going off, and it was Rocky Top. I noticed he wasn't ever on the phone. I said, "Will, what are you doing?" He goes, "I don't know how many times we're going to score this year, but I want to learn this song." Well, I can't. I said, "I can tell you one thing, we'll score more than they did last year."
Was that shade?
Excellent.
Was 100% shade.
Was it shade?
You know the meme that's been going around of J.R. Smith squinting?
Yeah.
That was Jeremy Pruitt when he found the chart that Butch Jones left behind in his desk for some advice for Jeremy Pruitt.
What is that?
That is Jeremy Pruitt when he watches film of last year, watching Larry Scott's play calls.
When he was evaluating all the players from last year.
Yeah. Oof.
I love that,
though. That's a great little clip. And I love the crowd just, ha-ha, yeah!
You could tell.
Screw Butch!
Well, they thought the initial punchline of Will Friend watching or listening to Rocky Top was hilarious. And then Pruitt added the part where they were going to score more than last year's team, and they found that hilarious. You could tell the difference.
It was well-delivered, a well-delivered little anecdote there.
See, when the press is not around, Jeremy Pruitt is a –
he shines.
He's a lovable guy.
I mean, I think that's hilarious, man. That's awesome. Let's get to Turkey Man. Turkey Man, good morning.
Good morning, individuals. How we doing this morning, this rainy day?
Muy bien,
doing
you too.
Great.
Good, good, good. Hey, I got a football question here in a minute, but I was listening to the rapping segment, and I am not an expert, nor do I know good rap or bad rap. So I kind of left out in evaluating talent.
Mm-hmm.
But being rapping...
Just like Butch.
Being rapping, number one, how would you grade it? And number two, what would his rap name be? Would
it be...
The chauffeur, the driver, the intern.
Hey, how dare you?
Fifth grade. I don't know.
DJ Slow Ride. That's Ben.
What?
It's because you take your time when you drive, Ben.
That's not true. That's fake news. That
slow drive.
That's Swain like pushing an improper narrative.
Cornbread, banana pudding.
Well, one of my nicknames growing up was B-Mac.
Okay.
Rap name for Butch?
Swain is not chiming in on
this. No, I'm letting you finish. So rap name for Butch, I would say, would be...
For Ben.
For Ben?
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Oh.
Ben.
I don't know for Ben. I got one for Butch though. Baby shoe Butch for Butch, and then for Ben,
I would call Butch little chart.
Yeah, little chart.
That's a winner right there.
Yeah, little chart would be good.
Or stupid chart.
Little chart. You got to put a little next to your name if you're a rapper. So little chart. Yeah, little chart.
Little watch.
Yeah. Little watch. Little chart. I like that one.
Little shoes.
Yeah, I like
Shotgun.
That one. For Ben, I don't know, man. I think about Ben's hip-hop name.
Well, he was doing that rapping there today. I reckon that's what you call it. And I was just wondering what would be his rapping name.
McKeezy.
And my football question.
Lil McKeezy.
And I'll let you think about it and carry on. Football question. I've seen this coaching poll somebody put out, and they had Kirby Smart at 10, and there was all sorts of Georgia fans having a problem with this, but I could think about it. This will just be his third year as a coach, and the first year, in the last seconds of the game, he let Butch beat him, in the championship game, in the last seconds of the game, he let Saban beat him with a freshman. And he also did all of that with his former, or the coach in front of him, Mark Richt's players, if I understand right. So the jury would still be out on how good a coach he is or he isn't. But I was wondering what you thought about the rating of him at 10, if you seen that or what you thought about it.
All right, Turkey Man. Thanks for the phone call. Hope you have a great weekend.
I want to see what he was talking about, the ranking.
I will inform the research department to look that up.
I mean, we just don't have enough.
Pruitt shouldn't be ranked.
Well,
as a head coach, he's never been a head coach. So I don't understand how.
I believe he's talking about Kirby Smart.
He was talking about Kirby being ranked number 10.
And overall.
In college football.
I believe so. That's why
how do you have a problem with that? Because there's
a lot of good coaches in college football, and Kirby Smart's been there for 2 years.
He went to an
this is a list that always changes.
I mean, you can live in the moment in that way, though. I mean,
but it changes just because you had a good year last year doesn't mean you're good this year. Like it's like the whole who's the best wide receiver in the league debate.
Yeah.
Okay. It depends on who did the best and looked the best the past year. I mean, that always changes. So, yeah, Kirby Smart should be in the top 10 based on what he did last year. I mean,
last year alone, but if we're talking just general top 10 coaches in college football, I think there's major recency bias there.
That's
because, I could look at it.
But that's part of it.
And, like, Lincoln Riley would not be in your top 10, but he made it to the playoff in his first year. Are we going to throw him up there just because he made it to the playoff in his first year? I mean,
I might. He might be in my top 10. I'd have to sit down and list them all out.
Especially now, I mean, you got Chip Kelly back in college football.
Well, it's just like this.
Chip Kelly in college.
Stuart Mandel, here's another athletic plug. Stuart Mandel, 2 weeks ago, sat down and ranked because it's the offseason. You get national media members like that get questions like this all the time. Who are the best coaches in college football? So because he got that question a lot, he sat down and ranked the top 25 coaches. You know who his number 25 coach was? Was Scott Frost at Nebraska. He hasn't done anything yet. But if you went off last year, you would think that recency bias would put him in the top 10, top 15, but he hasn't done anything at a national level yet.
CBS has him at 8. So this was from a couple weeks ago. Has Kirby Smart at 8. Scott Frost at number 21. In this discussion, I value body of work over Gene Chizik won a national championship. Man, I'm not gonna throw Kirby Smart up into the. He lost to Butch Jones. I'm not gonna throw Kirby Smart up into the top echelon of football because he made it to one national championship.
I hope you're not going off of that.
If you can't be able to see the difference between Kirby Smart and Gene Chizik as a football coach, then
obviously
you just. You would have an issue with really understanding football. But he went
7-5 and won a national championship. That doesn't just him into the upper echelon of coaches.
You can still look at Kirby Smart and go, man, he's a good coach based on what he's done in the last 2 years and what he did last year. If you only go by numbers and you only go by that you're just showing that you just don't have a much of an understanding about football. If you got to say, well, Gene Chizik won a championship, why was he not, you know, a top 10 coach? Because Gene Chizik, everyone knows that he won a championship because he had Gus Malzahn and he had freak of a nature Cam Newton. Like, that's
and
why he won a championship.
Nick Fairley.
Yeah. Kirby Smart
had
coached these dudes up with
a
true
on defense.
True freshman quarterback. He actually coached these guys up. He actually coached them up on offense. He did a really good job coaching. Just don't use Gene Chizik is all I'm saying. That's just a really bad example. If you want to say body of work.
Point being, I think there's recency bias in this ring.
If you want, and that's fine, but that's okay. Like, if you want to say that you personally, you way heavier on body of work than what you've done recently, that is fine. That's cool. I mean, that is, you know, that's part of the discussion. That's why these coaching lists spark conversation, because for one person, what you've done lately matters, because you're evolving, you're adapting. What you did 20 years ago or 15 years ago or 5 years ago shouldn't matter. The reason why Urban Meyer is at 2, man, because of he continues to be a game away from a championship opportunity. He's been coaching at a high level. Nick Saban obviously is what he is. Clemson, same way. Urban. I don't know if Jimbo is 4. I don't know if I would put Jimbo Fisher at 4.
Yeah.
Over Chris Peterson.
I would put Chris Peterson.
Gary Patterson.
I would put Chris Peterson ahead of Jimbo.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's debatable. Who's a better coach, Chris Peterson or Jimbo Fisher? Or Gary Patterson or Jimbo Fisher?
Or James Franklin.
You could say, well, Jimbo Fisher didn't win a championship at Florida State. If you want to use that argument, that's fair. But
also look what he did at the end of Florida State.
Yeah, he had a hard time sustaining it for year after year, you know, year after year. So,
I mean,
And what I really look at, I guess, when I look at the criteria of what I would say for coaches is sustained success, and even with success with teams that you wouldn't think would be successful. Now, Kirby, I would say, has that under his belt somewhat. I didn't think that team was going to be as good as it was. I genuinely didn't. Obviously, freshman quarterback. It had all those elements that kind of said, I don't know if this team is going to do that, and made it to a national championship game. But I just have to look at it and I say he's in year 2. I don't think I'm going to put him in top 10 quite
yet. Yeah, but he was also able to take a team that was underdeveloped by Mark Richt, one of the best college football coaches in America,
and turn
that defense into the best defense in the country, almost the top 2, top 3 defense in the country, and then progress the offensive line, progress those receivers, get two freshman quarterbacks ready to play, because he had Jacob Eason ready to play in year 1, and then he had Jake Fromm ready to play in year 2, and it took.
Yeah.
You mentioned that he lost to Butch Jones, but it took Butch Jones throwing a Hail Mary.
Yep.
And doing a little skip to my loo, falling to the ground like a little crybaby, to beat him.
Gotta go to break. Good point. We'll continue the conversation after these messages.
Hour 3 of the Swain event is brought to you by the Low T Center and LowTCenter.com. Do you know your numbers? Feel like you again. Let us help.
Gentlemen, when it comes to health and quality of life, there are numbers every man needs to know, including our testosterone number. I recommend going to Low T Center. They make it quick and easy to get your levels checked, and it's covered by most health insurance. Low T levels can make you feel tired and grumpy. It can raise your cholesterol, cause weight gain, and loss of muscle mass. Low T Center's physicians specialize in treating low T in men. Listen to me here. They know men's health and are reinventing men's health care. Call 865-392-1388 or go to lowtcenter.com.
Having a place to call home means a lot. A place that feels comfortable where you can be yourself. Better Mattress has called East Tennessee home for the past 27 years. You can tell when you walk in. They care. They have that Tennessee spirit that feels like home. You can trust them. Better Mattress has the history, the expertise to help you sleep better, and they have the top brands. From Tempur-Pedic to Stearns & Foster, Better Mattress has the brands you know, plus they carry their own line handcrafted in East Tennessee. The owners of Better Mattress know the person who made your Better Mattress. They visit their manufacturers to perfect every single detail before carrying them in their stores. To celebrate 27 years, you can get an adjustable base for $27 on select purchases. That's a $1,299 value. With a 100-night guarantee, you can shop worry-free at Better Mattress. You are missing out if you don't shop Better Mattress. It feels like home, and this month only, get an adjustable base for $27 to celebrate 27 years in business. Good night, just got better. BEDRmattress.com.
Hey, Annie, you're the spokesperson for Toyota Knoxville, right?
That's right.
Why should I buy from Toyota Knoxville?
Are you looking for new or used vehicles?
Does it matter?
No, because Toyota Knoxville has over 390 new Toyotas on the ground and over 350 pre-owned vehicles available to choose from.
Okay, so big selection.
And a lifetime warranty at no charge on all new and select pre-owned vehicles.
A lifetime warranty.
A non-factory limited lifetime powertrain warranty with unlimited miles.
plus 30 years of experience in Knoxville, not just serving our customers, serving our community.
And the buying experience?
Hello, it's Toyota Knoxville. Read the reviews. Talk to anybody that's been there.
Okay, okay. Where am I going?
Toyota Knoxville is at I-40 and the Lover Road exit. Go to Parkside Drive. You can't miss it.
Can I tell them Annie sent me?
I wish you would. If you're passionate about the car you drive, come meet the people that are passionate about the way they sell at Toyota Knoxville. ToyotaKnoxville.com.
Warranty good at participating dealers.
We now return to the program. It's a Debtful Life.
Two auto loans, six credit cards. Sometimes I wish I'd never taken out all this debt.
Oh, you should never say that, especially since Alcoa 10 will pay you up to $500 for your debt.
Who are you? Are you an angel?
Close. I'm a loan officer at Alcoa 10.
Teacher said that whenever you hear cha-ching, someone refinance a loan at Alcoa 10.
Alcoa 10 Federal Credit Union, a place where you belong. Equal housing lender.
At some point in your life, you're going to need an attorney. You need a guy like Jerrica Steele with the law firm of Butler, Vines, and Babb. Jerrica Steele is East Tennessee born, and he understands what giving his all truly means. To Jared, every case is big and every client is important. He will aggressively push your case to make sure you are quickly paid every dollar that you deserve. Give Jared Castillo a call, 865-244-3933, and talk with him directly. His office is located at 2701 Kingston Pike. So if you've been injured in a car wreck, let Jared Castillo and Butler, Vines, and Babb fight for you.
For a replay of each day's Swain Event TV, like us on Facebook.
I mean, I think it's perfectly fine if you are someone that looks at the body of work for a head coach and that weighs heavier for you than what you have done recently. That's fine. I think everyone has a different opinion. I don't think there's like a clear cut right or wrong. But to have a list where Nick Saban is number 10 as a college football coach, that's just absurd. And Charlie, you came across one where Nick Saban was number 10.
This is College Football News, which is part of USA Today. Peter Futak, whoever that is. Now, full disclosure, he says this is a list ranking the job that all 130 head coaches in college football did in 2018. So it is nothing but recency bias. It is all recency. That's what he's taking into account. But last on this list, first of all, is Jimbo Fisher at 130. What? Like, he wasn't that. They went 7-6.
Wow.
125, the one and only Butch Jones.
who was ranked below Butch Jones is the real question.
Jimbo.
That would be David Beatty at Kansas. Maybe fair. Gary Anderson at Oregon State. Matt Rhule at Baylor. I mean, Matt Rhule is running the most uphill battle.
Forget that. Did this person not just forget what Matt Rhule did at Temple?
And Jimbo Fisher. Well, this, like
Matt,
I said,
Matt Rhule turned Temple into.
This is recent.
This is all based off performance in 2017, 2018. This is, like strictly the job that they did in that season. I mean, I already like we're just off. Butch was awful, but also I mean you had like Kalani Sitake, is tied for 125 at BYU. They were
bad last year.
Horrible. Yeah, I think they won like three games. All year. But here's your top 10.
What a list.
Jeff Munkin at Army did a very, very good job with Army, I will
he
say.
He is number one on this
go
list.
But Army,
number
go.
One. Beat
go
Navy.
Army,
beat
go.
Navy 2 years in a row. That's amazing. But
I believe they won 10 games for the first time in forever.
Yes. No, and then number two, Scott Frost. Incredible, incredible year.
The national champion. How is he not number one?
Got himself an unbelievable job at Nebraska. Got himself his dream job. You know, whatever. Lane Kiffin at Florida Atlantic. Like, he turned things around. Got a lot of grad transfers in there to play ball.
Wow.
Number four, Jeff Tedford at Fresno State. He said, the guy comes in off the streets and turns a team that couldn't beat an FBS team the year before into a 10-win killer. Tedford was good. Lincoln Riley at five. Dabo at six. Dabo better than Saban? What are we doing? Number seven, Matt Campbell. Similar to Jeff Munkin. Took a team that you wouldn't think would be able to compete and competed. Bill Clark at UAB. Interesting job there.
Wow.
Because UAB didn't have a football
team. I think he deserves a top 10 ranking. But he should not be ahead of
Nick Saban. If we're talking strictly 2017-18 performance, but what Bill Clark did is pretty incredible. Paul Chryst of Wisconsin, they had an incredible year, went undefeated, and lost in the Big Ten championship game. And then at number 10, Nick Saban at Alabama. 11, Kirby Smart at Georgia. But this is where I really take offense at this. This is his rationalization for putting Nick Saban at number 10. And I'm like, did you even watch college football this year? Wouldn't a coach this amazing have known that Tua Tagovailoa was pretty good before halftime of the national championship game? Saban had just an okay regular season. I mean, do you consider 11-1 just okay? But if you win the national title, you're doing something right. Duh. What? What?
You're a trash take.
God, that's a flaming hot take. Credit to him for standing by whatever he says.
That's terrible.
Futak guy, but dude.
That's terrible.
He had an okay regular season. It was only okay because that's the standard at Alabama. The standard is to go undefeated, and Saban lost Auburn.
So this Jalen Hurts feller, pretty good record as starting quarterback.
Went 11-1 in the regular season.
Last 2 years.
Won an SEC championship the year before.
I mean, pretty good player, and had a rough start. And you allow that player, because he's earned that right to shake that funk. He was unable to shake that funk, but you know there's a time in the game where you're really able to make adjustments the best. You get like, you know, good 20 minutes, 20, 30 minutes, you know. That time is halftime. Halftime is when you can make adjustments. That's probably the best time to change your quarterback. Knowing that your defense is going to be playing pretty well, you can afford to wait to halftime to make that adjustment. That take is trash.
Bush Jones looks at halftime like J.R. Smith looks at the scoreboard.
Just squinting.
What?
What is that?
I thought we were ahead.
Chart. Where's my chart? Huh? I can't see it.
Nope. I tripped over a helmet, fell on my chart.
That's a bad take. This CBS sports list is interesting because, like, there's a mixture of, okay.
It's pretty fair.
Body of work and what have you done for me lately. I mean, you have.
Yeah, I guess I consider the best coaches, I would put them in order of how successful I will believe they will be in the following year because of sustained success that they've had. And I guess that's the way that I rank them. And I'm just not certain quite yet that Kirby is going to have that success year in and year out. That's why I put it that way. Does that make sense?
So you're ranking them based on what they're going to do in the future?
What I believe, how I believe they will perform in the future because of the body of work that they've built up.
But here's the thing with that and Kirby Smart. Kirby Smart has proven that he can take a group of guys and develop them into stars. Has he not?
Sure.
Then why would you not think that with the way he's recruiting, out-recruiting Alabama and Nick Saban, that he would not take those guys and continue to develop them and continue to have championship-level teams?
You just have 1 year of evidence to work with. Like, that is just not enough for me at this moment. He's definitely high. He's top 15 without a doubt. I don't know if I'd put him in the top 10 quite yet.
So they have, outside of Dabo, Urban, and Nick Saban, you have Jimbo Fisher at 4, which is a head scratcher.
I wouldn't have Jimbo there, for sure.
Chris Peterson at 5, and if you've watched college football, you know the only reason why Chris Peterson is not Dabo or Urban Meyer is because he's at Washington.
Yeah. Like, Chris Peterson.
He's at Washington.
And he's at Washington because he has a child that needs health. Needs to be, I don't know how to word it. He has health issues.
He's closer to resources that can help his child.
Yes. Yeah.
Chris Peterson is the ultimate example of what I'm talking about, where I look at his track record so far, and I think his teams are going to be successful in the future. Because Chris Peterson, just every single year, doesn't matter where he is, he finds a way to put an excellent product on the field.
You can keep him at 5 and just keep him there, because he won't move up because he's at Washington, so he would never outcoach what Nick Saban and Dabo and Urban's going to do because they just have better resources.
He made the playoff though.
Access
2 years ago
because everybody else tripped and fumbled, and he had a you know, a wonderful year, and you really had no one else to put in besides Washington.
They went undefeated in the
league. I understand.
I mean,
they again, they tripped and fumbled. I mean, everybody else tripped and fumbled. Washington played in the conference. Not that great that year. They had a good team.
No, Pac-12 is never.
They had a good team.
Excellent, but.
But I'm sure they were better teams that year. Not taking anything away from them, but they got there and got the doors blown off of them.
Yeah.
But you can put Chris Peterson right there and just keep him there because, like, he's going to coach at a high level every single year, but he'll never have access to the top recruits. So he'll never dethrone Dabo, Urban Meyer, or Nick Saban for a top three spot. And then at number six, you got TCU. And TCU, Greg Patterson is a prime example of a guy that just being consistent.
Gary Patterson.
What I say?
Greg.
Yeah, Gary Patterson. He's an example of a guy that's been consistent for so many years. David Shaw. Has he went to a college football playoff? Has he played the big-time bowl game? Not like maybe some of these other coaches, but you can just look at him.
Winningest coach in Stanford history.
Just look at him and go, man, this dude is a hell of a coach.
And he's another one very similar to Chris Peterson where I just think year in and year out, you're going to get a great product for him. I mean, they are a Rose Bowl staple at this point.
Three Pac-12 titles, three Heisman runner-ups.
But he's also at a place, you know, where
it's hard to win there.
Academic standards. I mean, they'll get him in USC a little bit easier.
Stanford and Notre Dame.
Yeah, I mean,
which just makes that the job that he does even more incredible because the academic standards at Stanford are so high.
He plays an old school brand of football. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody else doing this spread off. I mean, he's old
sticking
school.
To the power.
I mean, just wow. And he's developing players. So yeah, I mean that's fair. Kirby at eight. You know, I think this is kind of a more recent look at what he's been able to do.
And I think that's also a projection of what he will be.
But Chip Kelly at nine, I don't get why Chip Kelly's in the top 10. He hasn't coached college football since 2012.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, man. The game has changed. Recruiting has changed. The dude said he hated recruiting before he left. He had a problem with some of his players on this football team with the Eagles. LeSean McCoy, DeSean Jackson. I'm sorry, you don't think that's going to come up when you're recruiting these brothers?
That's going to come up.
I mean, you don't
up.
Think it's going to come up? Oh, it's going to come up. Like, the game is different now. And to put him in the top 10 at 0-0 at UCLA, I don't know about that.
I agree with what you're saying, but yeah. I personally do not have a problem with it because when he was at Oregon, he was absolutely dominant. The best offensive mind in football.
Seven years ago?
He revolutionized the offensive side of college football.
7 years ago.
Between him and Gus Malzahn, I would say they both essentially turned the offense in college football on its head. It's like in five years, three Pac-12 championships. A Rose Bowl, a Tostitos Fiesta Bowl, a national championship appearance. I mean, that's in 5 years.
I don't know that I have him in the top ten,
but I don't like look at it sideways.
I'm with what you're saying, though.
I mean, we're talking about the top ten.
He hasn't been in the league
thing,
in 5 years.
It's like one thing with Harbaugh. Harbaugh came from the NFL and just was automatically a top five coach, but Harbaugh at least went to the Super Bowl and had a successful season with the 49ers. So he was actually a consistently good coach in the NFL, but Chip Kelly had one good year until the NFL caught up with his system.
It wasn't one good year. Oh, you're talking about the NFL. I thought you were referring to his time in
Oregon. The NFL caught up with his system,
yes.
And he couldn't maintain that success. So I just think Chip Kelly being in the top 10 is it's a little too much.
I also don't like factoring in what they did in the NFL to their ability as a college
head
coach.
Why would you put him in the top 10 if you're not because you did 7 years ago.
7 years is a while ago, but it's also not that far away.
You going to put him in front of James Franklin?
No.
You going to put him in front of Mike Gundy?
Maybe.
As a college coach?
Maybe.
Gundy, I would.
7 years.
I'd say they're right next to each other at least.
Gundy has a bit of a roller coaster. It's like he'll win 9 games and he'll win 11 and then he'll, you know, he kind of.
I think Chip Kelly. I agree with what you're saying. I just personally, I still regard Chip Kelly as one of the best coaches in college football because of how brilliant offensive mind is.
We're talking about top 10. Are you putting me? Are you arguing that he should be in the top 10? Yes or no?
I don't know off the top of my head. I would have to sit down and rank my coaches from top to bottom.
I'm gonna tell you who's outside the top 10.
Okay.
Who Chip Kelly is behind. James Franklin, Mike Gundy, Bill Snyder, Dan Mullen, Gus Malzahn, Lincoln Riley, Mark D'Antonio, Mark Richt, Jim Harbaugh. That's probably as far as
I'm there's going. Only one. You only mentioned one coach that I would take them over Chip Kelly, and that's James Franklin. The rest,
that's not the question. Who you would rank in the top above him? I would take
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying there's only one that I would rank above him, and that's James Franklin. I wouldn't. There's not a James Franklin is the only coach that out of the ones that you listed that I would rank above Chip Kelly.
I think Paul
being
Paul
out
Chris,
of the college games for six to 7 years, he gets to come back.
That's worrisome. But what other sample size do I have to go off of? It's not like it's a John Gruden situation where it's been years since he even coached anything in college football. It's the only sample size I have to go off of right
now.
Chip
Kelly was the NFL Coach of the Year in 2013. So.
And he's going to be – I think he's going to –
that one season and he fell off at NFL.
Yeah.
One season.
In this discussion, I'm not taking into consideration what he did in the NFL. I'm purely what he did at Oregon because – as we've seen, college coaches can go to the NFL, flat out fail, and come back and be the best college football coach of all time, Nick Saban. So I'm not taking into consideration what he did in the NFL. The fact that he has not coached in college for 7 years worries me. But that's the only sample size I have to go off of. And I think that Chip Kelly is going to destroy it at UCLA because, one, it's a weak conference. I think it's going to be easy to kind of take the reins of that. Two, he's going to sweep recruiting in UCLA because I think he's a better head coach than Clay Helton. And I think he'll tend to get those guys that Clay Helton has been getting, the Adoree Jacksons, the guys like that. I think they will fit perfect in a Chip Kelly system, and I think he's going to run the Pac-12 for the next couple of years. It'll be him or David Shaw.
It's hard for me to take a guy who has been out the game for 6 years and put him above Mike Gundy and James Franklin, and they've been coaching.
I didn't put him above James Franklin. He's the only coach that I would take over Chip Kelly. Of the guys that you mentioned, James Franklin is the only one that I would take over Chip Kelly.
It's hard for me to take Chip Kelly over James Franklin, Mike Gundy, Dan Mullen right now. These guys have been coaching for the last 6 years. Chip Kelly has not been coaching college football for the last 6 years.
But
right now, not even coached one game at UCLA. I need to see something before I put you ahead of guys who've been doing it at a high level. I mean, Mike Gundy's been doing it at high levels last 6 years. James Franklin's been doing it at a high level last 6 years. I mean, Dan Mullen at Mississippi State has been coaching his butt off the last 6 years in the SEC.
I know.
I just need to see – something. I put Chip Kelly right in front of these guys. That's all I'm saying.
And, guys like Dan Mullen are really hard to gauge in a situation like this. Because I look at the stuff that Dan Mullen did at Mississippi State in Starkville, a team – that basically, until I was 12 and really got my bearings about football, I thought Mississippi State and Ole Miss were the same school. I mean, Tennessee never really played them in football that much, but they were that inconsequential. Point being, so I have a hard time reconciling a guy like that, where clearly what he did is unbelievably impressive, but he hasn't broken into that top tier, but did he not break into that top tier strictly because he was at Mississippi State? Like, he had to bump his head up against Alabama, and that's literally the only reason he's not a top 10 coach right now. Like, I have a hard time with guys like that on a list like this.
Yeah, and to your point about not having coached in 7 years, that does worry.
In the college game.
Yes, in college game. That does worry me, but I am of the belief that no matter what profession you're in, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a broadcaster, a radio host, I'm of the belief that you can take 5, 6, 7 years off, and you'll come back rusty, but once you knock that rust off, you'll be just as good.
Okay, well, I'm going to let him knock that rust
off. Now, I will say, I'm standing up for Chip Kelly, but he does have some concerns. The thing that concerns me the most is not that he took 7 years off from college football, but the fact that he is on record multiple times saying that he hates recruiting. If you don't want to recruit in college football, you're not going to last.
Yeah, get out. Don't do it.
He's back at college because he can't coach in the NFL.
Correct.
That's why he's back in college. Well, so if I was recruiting,
because he can't relate to the players in the NFL.
Well, that's part of not being able to coach in college. I mean, NFL, not being able to relate to players, and his system just doesn't work. If I was recruiting against Chip Kelly, I'm mentioning that. I'm also mentioning what happened with the Philadelphia Eagles, how poor he was at relating to guys like DeSean Jackson, LeSean McCoy, and how he tried to basically – he basically did the same thing that Graciano did at
Tampa
Bay.
Tried to run a college program in the NFL.
No, he attacked the character of DeSean Jackson to justify getting rid of him. You got rid of your best players right. And then tried to attack their character through the media behind the scenes the same way that Graciano did Josh Freeman in Tampa Bay. If I'm recruiting against Chip Kelly, I'm bringing that up in recruiting. You can't trust this dude. He's a slime ball.
Well, that's what
I would say about Chip right. Kelly if I was recruiting against him.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. He has to knock the rust off first
yeah.
before I put him
I agree.
Above James Franklin. And Mike Gundy, who for the last 6 years they've been coaching at a high level.
That's fair.
That's my only take. I'm not saying Chip Kelly is trash. All I'm saying is, man, like using the NFL, man, you really exposed yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, and
as a person.
Yeah, and the reason I said that he failed in the NFL because he tried to run it like a college program was because in college, you can talk down to your players and get away with it. We saw that with Butch Jones. Butch Jones talked down to the Jalen Hurd, and he finally got tired of it. But you can get away with it in college because these guys are binded to a contract, essentially, with their letter of intent that they sign. It's hard for them to go somewhere else versus where in the NFL, these guys are getting paid and you can't.
Yeah, there's not as much money involved.
And you see it in the NBA all the time. If you don't have a good relationship with your star player, you saw it with David Fizdale and Marc Gasol. Mm-hmm. David Fizdale got canned. You just saw it with Dwayne Casey and DeMar DeRozan. If you don't.
The coach goes before the player.
Yes, the player always wins. Whereas in college, you can get away with being a butthole to your player because what's the player going to do in that situation? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean,
you got limited. Too much, you got too much invested in the coach. You got buyouts. You're paying them $3-4 million a year, so it's always a coach first,
mm-hmm.
unless he does something that you could fire him for calls.
Hugh Freeze situation.
Yeah. So, I'm very intrigued by Chip. Back in the college game and being at UCLA.
Honestly.
I was intrigued about him coming here.
Mm-hmm.
But even that, I was still like, I don't know, man. That's going to be a good fit. And when he was potentially going to Florida, I was not scared. I could not wait to play against Chip Kelly and recruit yeah. against Chip Kelly because you're recruiting Dreadhead and gold teeth dudes down in Florida.
And that didn't work for you in the NFL.
Man, bring up that DeSean Jackson, the LeSean McCoy situation and see how many questions you're going to get in those living rooms.
Yeah.
Please. I was ready for him to be at Florida.
Yeah, and I do hope that Chip Kelly is good at UCLA because I think it'll be better for college football and the Pac-12. I mean, imagine if Oregon, UCLA, USC, and Stanford are all playing well at the same time. And then you also have a little bit of Herm Edwards down at Arizona State, kind of like a thorn in your side. I think that would be storylines for days. And I know I'm one of the very few, but I watch SEC football all day long.
All day.
And the last game goes off 9, 10 o'clock. I'm one that likes to watch Pac-12 football. I've watched Christian McCaffrey and mm-hmm. Andrew Luck late at night and
it's fun.
Bryce Love. For the UCLA, USC, Arizona State, Oregon, for those teams to be rocking all at once, I think it would be great for college football and the Pac-12 because then you don't have that East Coast bias because people are going to be more likely to want to stay up and watch those teams play.
The Pac-10 having a resurgence would be very, very good for college football. Honestly, it needs to happen because they've just sucked recently. And, I mean, just really
– Outside of one or two top teams and Washington. Washington. And Washington State.
They've been the forgotten stepchild of college football.
Yes.
Like, they just – yeah. So that needs to happen for the popularity of the sport on the West Coast. Like, it's just losing ground. So, we'll see.
Swain Event, take the last break of the week here on the program, 865-255-03. Stay with us.
Hour 3 of the Swain Event is brought to you by the Low T Center and LowTCenter.com. Do you know your numbers? Feel like you again. Let us help.
Today there is a 60% chance of rain with showers and thunderstorms likely mainly after 11, mostly cloudy with a high near 84. Tonight the chance of rain drops to 50%, mostly cloudy and a low around 68.
Tomorrow looks to be partly sunny with only a 30% chance of showers and a high near 87. Partly cloudy tomorrow night with a 20% chance of precipitation and a low around 68. Sunday, another 50% chance of rain, partly sunny and a high in the mid-80s. Weather on the Swain event is brought to you by B-Dry. If your basement is wet or cracked, B-Dry can help. B-Dry.com. Spring is here and it's time to party. Who wants to spend hours upon hours on the smoker while everyone else is having a good time? Nobody. That's who. Call Dead End Barbecue at 865-414-9417 and let a top 100 barbecue restaurant handle the food so you can enjoy your party. The school year is getting close to ending, which means graduation parties and end of the year celebrations. Don't be stuck on the grill. Pick up the phone and call 865-414-9417 and ask for Leah. Dead End Barbecue. Your catering search is over.
You're driving home, flashing blue lights in your rearview mirror. You pull over, step out of your car, and the next thing you know, you're being arrested for driving under the influence. Now, what do you do? We all should be responsible. But remember, just because you're arrested doesn't mean you're guilty. Call criminal defense and DUI attorney Marcos Garza at 865-540-8300. The investigative teams at the Garza Law Firm know the justice system inside and out. They utilize cutting-edge technologies and investigative methods to prepare your specific case. Before you plead guilty to any criminal charges, call criminal defense and DUI attorney Marcos Garza. Put his number in your phone right now, 865-540-8300, because you never know when you or a friend will need it. Don't say guilty. Say Garza. 865-540-8300. 865-540-8300 and GarzaLaw.com.
We have all made the mistake of dropping or breaking our smartphones. See? But did you know that you can have it repaired for a fraction of the cost that it takes to replace it? Well, you can, because iDrop is the area's leading mobile repair store, home of the 1 hour or less phone repair, 1 year parts warranty, and number one customer service. Broken screens, cracked cameras, charging ports, batteries, you break it, we'll fix it. If you didn't break your phone, protect it with one of our leading accessories such as LifeProof, OtterBox, UAG, and Simplico, Caseology, and Spec. Visit our West Hills location at 7115 Kingston Pike between Office Depot and Hardee's, or call 865-888-9740 and speak with our trained technician to see how we can get your phone working today.
Insurance.
Nobody likes surprises, so switch to Erie Rate Lock. Get a great rate that stays that way even after an accident, ticket, or inflation. In fact, it's locked until you change a car, driver, or your address.
Your Erie agent in Knoxville is InsureFit RM. Get a quote at 865-684-4900. That's 865-684-4900.
Erie Rate Lock does not guarantee continued insurance coverage and is not available in all states.
JC's Tree and Landscaping Service specializes in quality tree work done at an affordable price. Trimming and removing trees are their specialty. They also offer other services like land clearing, stump grinding, crane services, and all of your basic landscaping needs for both commercial and residential. JC's will give you a free estimate and beat any written quote by a competitor to guarantee that you get the lowest price around. Don't risk your land with a fly-by-night service. JC's Tree and Landscaping is licensed and insured. Give them a call at 865-599-3799.
At work? Can't call in? Don't feel bad. You can talk to the guys on the text box. It's part of the free Swain Event app.
So Monday, June the 4th, the Swain Event will be back on the radio, 8:50 a.m., 100.9 FM. Rocky Top Sports is the station, WKVL, and really excited to be back on the dial. Seems like a lot of people are also excited about being able to drive in a car to work. And check us out.
Not have to use their cell phone data to stream us.
Yeah, and their battery. So
yep.
Nothing would change. For those asking, hey, we're going to still be on the app? Absolutely. Because we were on the app before we left radio and was on before. I mean, we had the app flowing. So there's a new app now, so that will continue. Everything will stay the same. We'll just be back on local radio. So if you're listening outside of Knoxville, listen to the app, that will stay the same. Now, I did get a really good question, and I've already asked this question before I got them, and that is about, golly, what's the name of that? What's the name of that app you can listen to radio stations on?
iHeart.
Not all hard. We are.
Tune in?
Tune in. Yeah, tune in app. So I will ask about that today and get you some information about that. I've been trying to get on TuneIn for a while, and they were not, like, accepting streams that were not on the radio at some point. And so now that we're back on the radio, let's see kind of what happens there. I know people listen to – they stream shows using TuneIn, so I'll find out that. But man, everything's going to be the same, and we're looking forward to being back on radio. So June 4th, 100.9 FM, 850 AM.
It's June 1st.
Well, and let's
June, man.
Let's address really quick. We thought
it's June.
We were going to have Vaughn on for Players Only Meeting with Swing Event Plus, and as we sort of feared might happen, it ended up stuff that he was doing. I don't know if we can really discuss it, but it ended up falling through, which sucks because it was going to be awesome.
Well, we'll get him. Well, actually, Vaughn was going to come in the studio.
Yeah, that's why it was going to be so cool.
And he was in town, and you know, I'm not going to kind of share why he was in town. I think you can put two and two together if you kind of pay attention to the newspaper and kind of see what was going on this week there. But he was in town, so the plan was to have him here in the studio, but he was very tied up with that engagement, and he does play arena ball, so he had to get back to playing arena ball. So we'll do the interview over the phone. It was supposed to be done, I want to say Tuesday or Wednesday, and that fell through. So what I would do is try to get it done over the weekend and post that. We still will talk to Bryce next week. I will talk to Joey Kent on Wednesday, which is the plan. So we'll have two receivers in the next coming days for our players only meeting there at Swain Event Plus.
Yeah, that should be interesting. Two receivers from two different eras of, you know, kind of Joey in the heyday and Vaughn going through the hard times, unfortunately. But I just am genuinely excited to have a dude on that went through the Butch Jones ringer, and to have, because of how candid the conversations have been so far, if we can get Vaughn kind of going down the same road that we've had with the other guys, I think we can get some really interesting stuff out of him.
Well, I mean,
see what he has to say.
Yeah, I mean, and these guys know kind of the tone of the conversation going into the interview is that is, you know, it's a candid conversation, and so I'm not going to try to take him down a path that he's not prepared for at all.
I want him to talk about whatever he's comfortable talking about.
He has a cool story, and you know, the Butch Jones stuff, like, it is what it is. But Vaughn's story is like so cool. Well, even without the Butch Jones stuff,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he was working in a fast food restaurant before getting to JUCO and found himself playing in the SEC. So there's a whole bunch of stuff that happened or didn't happen that made him go have to work at a fast food restaurant instead of going and playing college ball. Like, what happened during that time? Was it academics? Was it injury? Was it what was it? Because everyone has a kind of a different story of why they have to go to JUCO. And so Vaughn's story is going to be interesting, man. I'm looking forward to it. I know that he understands how much fans love Tennessee, and you know, he had an unfortunate time, you know, his last year being accused of something that he did not do, and it cost him valuable time, and
It pretty much cost him his senior year.
I've seen other cases where someone was accused of something that they did not do. The school banned them from the campus, and the player sued the school and won.
The kid at Yale a couple of years ago, a basketball player, that happened to.
And Vaughn has chosen not to do that for some reason. And he probably could win if he wanted to. And I wouldn't have any I wouldn't feel like any
a certain type of way.
Animosity towards Vaughn. I wouldn't be like, man, you can't do that. Nah, man. Like, they took away precious time. Your senior year, you were falsely accused. And they treated you like you were a freaking criminal. I mean, you had to work out in a T-Rex, and, you know, you couldn't even go eat with everybody else. You had to find your own meals. I mean, they treated him like he was freaking guilty. And it came back to be that he wasn't. What are y'all going to do about it? And nothing happened. No one did anything. People just pretended like it was all good. And that affected Vaughn's opportunity to play at the next level. Like, he was found innocent. And I got buddies of mine who are in those NFL circles, who work for agencies and try to get, you know, Vaughn opportunity for a tryout. And the fact that he was accused but still innocent hurt his chances to play the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And do you think that our former coach,
he don't care,
helped him at all?
No.
No, they didn't. No. They didn't. And
it was almost like he didn't want to be associated with him.
It's
sad.
It's a bad look there. No one should look differently at Vaughn for being I would be bitter a little bit. Especially like
fresh, I absolutely would.
Fresh coming out.
How could you not?
Like, I would be bitter at least for the first, you know, couple years coming out.
Because there has to be such a what if element with Vaughn Pearson if he doesn't have that amount of time cut out of his college career. You know, what if I was playing that entire time? And because dude has an NFL body, he has an NFL physicality, and I don't know why it didn't work out exactly, but. I think to a certain extent that had something to do with it.
Yeah, so
we'll see.
We'll be working around the clock this weekend. We'll get those interviews done and post it there at Swain Event Plus. And Monday mornings, 7 a.m. local,
there.
We'll be on 850 a.m. and 100.9 FM at Rocky Top Sports, new sports station that is and will take Knoxville by storm. Looking forward to it. Have a great weekend. For Ben McKee, Charlie Burris, I'm Jason Swain. Swain Events fueled by Dead End Barbecue, live from the Low T Center Studio. Have a great weekend. Peace and love.